Hi, Salt Church. I hope you are having an amazing Christmas season. I wanted to let you know a little bit about what's coming up in 2024 and give you guys an amazing opportunity going into the new year. So at the end of every single year, almost every church does this. It's called end of year giving. And I want to encourage you in a specific way with your end of year giving and your regular tithes and offerings. This year, we're going to be focusing on really investing, especially at the beginning of the year, in our media and kids ministry and our marriage and family ministries. I'm really, really excited about it. We're looking to raise $40,000 for state-of-the-art stuff, both for our media and for our kids ministry. We want to make it an amazing experience for kids, but more than anything, we want to make sure that the message of the gospel is going out. Our goal is to see thousands of people reached here in the Wilmington area and millions abroad through media. Media is the new Roman road. It's the best way to spread the gospel in our era. And with our kids, when it comes to our kids, we want to make sure that our kids aren't just showing up to another fun thing, another kid's experience, or something that they go home with just candy or whatever it is that you've experienced in churches before. We want our kids to be trained in the Holy Spirit and the Word in a world of absolute chaos, bringing home the gospel and bringing the gospel to their friends and family as well. So I want to encourage you in this Christmas season, as you're looking at giving, tax season is coming up, all those things I know, we want to raise $40,000 to invest specifically in our kids and our media ministry. So all the giving links are going to be available in this video. And also, if you're a member of our church, or if you say you're a member of SALT, and you're not regular giving yet, I encourage you to just set up recurring giving right now coming into the new year. This helps us plan in advance. This helps our vision move forward. And this helps the message of the gospel go out. I hope you enjoy this video that you're about to hear from me as well about planning the new year and about Christmas. So enjoy your day, enjoy your time with friends and family, but make sure going into the new year that you're putting God first when it comes to your finances. Hey, how you doing, church? We wanted to send you a short video teaching while everyone's with family, doing Christmas stuff. We don't have services the last two Sundays of this year because we really believe that people need to be spending time with their families, especially on holidays like this, and just getting the time to relax. It also gives our team some time to rest, relax, pray, and look forward to the next year. But we wanted to make sure we gave you a word while you're there with your family. Gather them around on a Sunday, watch this on YouTube, have a good time. But we wanted to show you or teach you how to actually plan your next year. Because I know a lot of people, especially that like weird, awkward gap between like Christmas and New Year's, you're like, what do? Do I keep eating junk? Should I start my New Year's resolutions now? You're just kind of sitting around inside because it's cold outside, wondering what to do with your life. There's like that post-Christmas, like you come down off the high. But we want to show you how to actually use that time in an effective way. So we're gonna get out of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. And I love this passage of scripture. And this has helped Jess and I order our lives and order our years around the kingdom of God. But we're going to teach you today how to actually order your life around the kingdom of God, because Jesus says really clearly, seek first his kingdom and then everything else gets added to you. So how do you actually do that? Because it's nice to say and it sounds really pretty, but how do you actually do that? But we're going to start at verse 19 in Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore there is light in you that is darkness, how great is that darkness? So this has always been kind of confusing for people. Like if your eye is good, what does that even mean? It's kind of a Jewish idiom that they used when Jesus was teaching about how you see things. And also it would indicate a generous person, like what your eye is on, what you're actually looking at, and it lets light into your body. The eye is the window of the soul. So when Jesus is talking about your eye in relation to where you actually lay up your treasure, what I want to first teach you about the coming year is make plans to be generous. Make plans to be generous and actually lay up treasures in heaven. Jess and I set aside a fund every single year. We don't make income goals. We don't make achievement goals, really. What we write down is how much do we want to give away in this coming year? And every single time, and since we've started doing that about 5 years ago, God has always provided for us in miraculous ways. He's given us more than we need. He's given us more stability than it seems like is actually available in the world, because God's economy sits above the world's economy. So when you listen to Jesus and actually do what he says, things tend to work out a lot better. We see in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says over and over again, listen, do what I say. Do what I'm actually teaching you. Don't just take it as a nice philosophy. Don't just take it as something like, oh, well, Jesus, that's really good teaching, and I know it's true, but how do you actually do that? Well, you make a plan. Make a plan to give away a certain percentage of your income. Make a plan to give away a certain amount of your income and be generous on every occasion. First, you need to start tithing to your church. Second, figure out places where your heart is, where you want to give money away, people you want to help, things like that. Just be ready to consistently be generous, because where your eye is focused is where you'll actually go. We talk a lot about putting the kingdom of heaven first, but a lot of that starts with our wallet. A lot of that starts with our bank account. So think about it. Do a real good look. Take a real good look at your finances and where your treasure is actually going. Is it going towards the kingdom of heaven? Is it going towards advancing eternal things? Think about it this way. Like, you just got a bunch of gifts for Christmas. Hopefully you got a bunch of gifts for Christmas, right? People love you. They get you gifts. Isn't it funny how, like, after just a few months, you like really take care of something, right? It's like getting a new car. You're like, I'm going to clean it every single week. I'm going to vacuum it out every single week. We're going to take the best care of it ever. And then like a year down the road, it's kind of messy on the inside. Like, it's got a ding from someone opening their door against you in a parking lot. You just kind of like, it builds character, right? Over time. And you don't take care of things as much as you used to. That kind of glamour, that glow of stuff goes away. Make sure you're investing in things that are actually eternal. Make sure you're investing in things that last forever. Jesus goes on, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. These are hard words. These are really hard words from Jesus. He doesn't use the words, well, you'll kind of be one toe in the kingdom and one toe in something else. Make sure that your finances line up with the kingdom of heaven and a lot of peace will come on your life. I remember when we didn't have any money whatsoever, we still made sure every single time we got paid, even tiny little miracle checks, like $100, $200, we'd say, all right, we're going to tithe $50. We tithe $5 right away. We'd make sure that every time we received income, we said, God, this is yours. We serve you. We don't work for money. We work for you. It doesn't matter what job you have and what industry you're actually in. In 2024, as you plan this year, if you're a member of Salt Church, if you're just watching this on YouTube, I want to help you. You can eliminate 90% of the stress in your life by eliminating the stress in your finances by putting God first in your finances. How? Well, a lot of people say they trust God. A lot of people talk the talk, right? But trusting God looks like actual action. It looks like serving him with your resources and finance. So when you're creating a budget for the year, and if you're in sales, you can do percentage budget. If you're getting like up and down income and you run a business and you're not sure like how to set it up, you're not like on a fixed income or a regular salary, what we did is we set up a percentage basis. So whatever came in, we'd take a percentage of it and we'd divvy it up to certain things that we needed. But first of all, we'd always give. And we'd always give more than 10%. That's what we consider the minimum, because we want to make sure God knows that with our actions, we're actually trusting him and serving him. And it took away the stress of finances. It took away us clawing and grabbing for more achievement or more money. And it still pokes its head up sometimes. Like, it's there for everybody. But if you're going after stuff, if you're going after image, if you're going after money, then your life is going to be stressful because you'll never arrive. But if you set your identity in Christ and say, I serve you and serve you only, this money that you give me is actually yours. Plan your year like that. So why do you plan? A lot of people say, well, I'm going to do random acts of kindness. There are no random acts of kindness. You do them on purpose. You always do them on purpose, and you're always ready to do it. So plan to be generous. And God tends, I've seen this so many times, God tends to provide seed to the sower. That's a promise in the Bible. So if you're not sowing the seed, why do you expect a harvest? And why do you expect peace in your finances when you haven't partnered with God in your finances? If you want peace in 2024, when the world is going crazy, there's going to be an election this year. So people are going to talk about doom and gloom, or they're going to talk about the economy bouncing back, but everybody's going to be lying to you. So you want to be in God's economy, right? Because the kingdom supersedes everything else. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't serve both. You serve one or the other. Money is a tool that God gives to his servants to expand the kingdom. That's its number one purpose. That's its quintessential purpose. That is the purpose of finances. Even getting relationships in business with your resources, that's to expand the kingdom. That's the purpose of money. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I think anyone that's ever achieved any level of success has realized this at some point, that there's always more cars, there's always more clothes, there's always more image to get, there's always more followers to get, there's always more achievement. And the information and the people we have access to is mind-boggling. And we create this vertical comparison scale in our minds. And comparison is the biggest trap when it comes to wanting more stuff. When you worry about what you wear and what you eat, where you sleep, the house you have, the cars you have, comparison is the trap. Because you can see billionaires every single day. You can hear from billionaires every single day. You can hear from influencers every single day. You can look down the street. You can see people's cars. You can, whatever you're looking at and comparing yourself to on a consistent basis will make you worry about what you look like and what you eat and where you're eating and all those things. Why does Jesus say don't worry about those things? He says in verse 26, he answers the question, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, they don't even reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I always kind of think of squirrels when I see this, because they're little thieves and they steal from the birds, but they don't do anything but go around and eat food that's openly available to them, that falls off trees, that God provides for them. For some crazy reason, he provides all the way down to the lowest level of nature. Through nature, he provides for them and the laws he set in motion. But he's given you the law of sowing and reaping. So even more so, he's given you a promise of sowing and reaping. Like when you sow, even when you sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy. And a lot of people read that passage where it says they went out and sowed in tears and they reaped in joy. And they go, well, what does that really mean? They're sowing the seed that would have otherwise been made into bread. That's why they're sowing in tears. But God says you're going to reap in joy. You're going to reap a harvest when you sow that way because of the laws he set in motion and because God loves you and actually wants to take care of you. But he's not going to give you something if you're not a conduit for his kingdom. He's not just going to dump resources on you that are going to ruin you. So manage your finances and manage your life in a way in this upcoming year that really puts him first, not just on paper, but in action. Everyone's done a budget and not followed it. Everyone's done that. I've got the new app. I'm going to invest. I'm going to be so awesome with money this year. I'm going to serve God with my money. I'm going to give to him. God has to be first. No matter what the rest of your outlook looks like, it has to be first. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, neither do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? This is really important when it comes to your upcoming year in 2024 or any year you're planning for. If you watch this on YouTube and it's the wrong year, you can still use these principles. It's really, really important to take this. Are you not worth much more than they are? God is saying to us, look, you don't have to worry because of the value that I place on you. You have eternal life living inside of you. What more could you actually want? What more could you actually desire than Jesus and the eternal life that he puts inside you? What more could you want than the gospel? It's funny sometimes, a lot of times we focus on gaining things when what we really need to gain is more of Jesus and we'd have peace about everything else. Here's a first principle about money. If money is going to give you peace, more money is going to give you peace, or paying off a debt, a miracle check, and paying off debt is going to give you peace, then you're serving money and you're worshiping money. But if you get your peace from Jesus first, and the money comes in and it doesn't affect you one way or the other, you see it as a tool, then you're serving him. A lot of times people pray for breakthrough when it comes to resources and finance. When God says, look, don't worry about that. Jesus says, don't worry about that because you're so much more valuable than them. Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? Just follow what I tell you to do. And it makes it easier for God to say, I'm going to take care of this one and I'm going to give them more than enough. And which of you being anxious can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. Solomon, if you adjust for inflation, was likely a trillionaire. $1 trillion. That's more money than even our economy can imagine right now. And he's comparing us to Solomon. He's like, look, the flowers of the field, even to Solomon, he's like, look, the things that God creates on a whim with his word are more beautiful than what you could create on your own. Think about diving into his word. Think about ordering your life around him. But God so raised the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow's thrown into the furnace. Will he not much more so do for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious, this is verse 31, then saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we clothe? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Don't do the world's way when it comes to worry. The news is going to tell you to worry. The economy is going to tell you to worry. Politicians are going to tell you to worry. Beware of someone that tells you to worry that's also selling something. It's really important. Jesus isn't selling anything here. He's saying, trust in me, we'll take care of you. I'm the one that has everything to give. You don't have anything to give to me. I have everything to give to you. So have peace. Do it God's way and not the world's way, and you'll have peace even before you have the resources. For all these things the Gentiles seek, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is one of the best passages in scripture. Why? Jesus tells you how to order your life. So a lot of you are going to be sitting down right now, or you're thinking about next year. You're like, I need to write resolutions or at least goals or plan next year. I need a plan for my family. Sit down with your spouse or whatever you're doing to plan for 2024. If you're not planning for 2024, you should take some time and actually plan for the year. How do you actually put the kingdom of God first? Well, the very first thing that you need to do, and this is the anchor of everything else in your life, is schedule your secret place. I tell this to our commission students at SALT. I tell this to anybody that I disciple. I tell this to our staff here at SALT. The secret place needs to be in your calendar. Make an appointment with Jesus. He's knocking on the door, wanting to be with you, wanting to spend time with you, wanting to speak words over your life, wanting you to transform. Dang it. It's okay. Just leave it in. He's wanting to transform you. And a lot of times we don't give the space to Jesus to do that. Treat him like a real person and you'll get a real person. The first way that you order the kingdom, you order your life around the kingdom of heaven is just have a secret place. Have time set aside and keep it really simple. Are you reading the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit? Like prayerfully reading scripture. I don't mean just like I've got a reading plan, because SALT's going to be doing a reading plan for this upcoming year. So be ready. We're going to go through the whole Bible in 1 year. I don't want you just running through the Bible. I want you sitting down and saying, Holy Spirit, help me understand what this actually means for the church, what it actually means for my neighbors, what it actually means for me, what it means in my life, and I want this word to actually transform me. Why? Because just running through the Bible, you won't be able to get the bread, you won't be able to get the sustenance that you actually need out of it. You need the Holy Spirit to interpret the scripture for you. You need the scripture to actually interpret scripture for you. When you get the whole view of the gospel, the whole view of what God is doing throughout scripture. He says, don't be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. So how many times in your life have you made plans and those plans didn't work out exactly like you thought they would? I didn't think I'd be in North Carolina. I didn't think we'd have a church in 2023. I didn't think a lot of things. I made lots of plans. But our ears need to be open every single day to what God wants us to do that day. Why? Because human beings can't live in the future and the past. Your brain doesn't exist that way. Psychologically, you just can't do it. And Jesus is making us dive into him for what we actually need. Because you need him every single day. It's like manna in the wilderness, right? Every single day, bread came down out of heaven. Jesus says he's the living bread. He's the bread that comes down from heaven, right? So when we read the scripture, he's saying tomorrow will take care of itself. What does that mean? He says, most things in your day, you don't have control over. Tomorrow, you don't have control over. But what you do have control over is how you approach God today. That's what it means to put the kingdom first. So how do you order that? How do you actually do that? So first, we already talked about our resources, our finance, which is you get that in exchange for time or product that you've thought of, right? You get that in exchange for creativity, whatever it is, but your time turns into money. So you're essentially giving your time to God when you're tithing, when you're giving and being generous. You're saying, my time is so valuable to me, but God, it's all yours and I give it back to you. When he's saying, don't worry about the future, putting the kingdom first, what we're saying as a church is put the gospel first, put his presence first. That means you're in the Bible and praying every single day. So I'll give you a good idea of what like my secret place looks like. Depending on the day, we got a new baby right now, so things are a little wacky. So I'll pace and pray with her in the middle of the night sometimes, or if I can't wake up early enough, God always gets his time throughout my day. I'll sit down in a place where I know I'm not going to be interrupted. That's important. Sit down in a place where you know you're not going to be interrupted. Get your coffee, get whatever you want to get. But first I ask God, I'm like, God, as I open scripture today, and you can pray this however you want to pray. It doesn't need to be complicated. God, as I open scripture today, speak to me. I don't want it to be some dry ritual. I want to spend time with you. And when you're spending time in the word, you're spending time with Jesus. It's wild. It's supernatural. It's inexplicable. But you're spending time with him as you go through the word. Say, if something needs to change in my life, change me. If I need to repent today, I want to repent. Just pray beforehand. Go into scripture with a prayerful attitude. And I'm not saying you need to intercede for an hour before you start reading scripture. Just sit down and go, God, I want to be aware of your presence. And I want to be aware of your voice in scripture. Speak to me. And then when it comes to prayer, you guys can look at all the messages we did on the Lord's Prayer. But first things first, it's worship. Prayer is really worship. You acknowledge the presence of God. You acknowledge his position. And then you pray for the kingdom of heaven to advance. Pray for the church. Pray for your leaders in the church. Pray for the church and the gospel to advance. Pray for significant people in your life that you want to see come to Jesus, right? And then pray for your needs. Pray for your needs. And then repent and forgive people. Just use a simple way of praying, and these don't need to be long. They don't need to be drawn out. As you're practicing your secret place, as you're setting aside time in your calendar to actually put the kingdom first, plan it. Put it in your calendar right now before the new year starts. Start right now. Don't wait until January 1st. Start right now. Don't wait until 21 days of prayer and fasting at our church. Don't wait until February, March, April, we're like, oh, I got to like snap back. I got to put the kingdom first. And then all these things will be added to me. Also, you need some non-negotiables in your life. Sit down with your spouse or sit down by yourself or sit down with someone you're accountable to and say, I need non-negotiables in my life. What are those? Well, first and foremost, I think church should be a non-negotiable. I've never moved anywhere without a church in mind. Second, I think a lot of people take it lightly when the scripture clearly says, do not forsake the gathering together. When it comes to your kinship group, your small group, make it a non-negotiable for your family and see how your life actually changes. Like, if we're in town, this is what we do. We go to church. We're a church attending family. And this isn't, a lot of times people watch something like this, well, that's a little self-serving, Parker. You want like a bunch of people at your church. Of course, I want a bunch of people in my church. That'd be amazing. I'd love for people to come more consistently. I'd love for people to prioritize the kingdom of heaven over their business or over some inconvenience or over the rain or over whatever small thing gets in the way of people getting together and worshiping Almighty God together and hearing the gospel preached. I'd love for that to be the case. I'd love for people to say, this is a non-negotiable for our family. But even if you look at basic statistics, people that are actually committed to church, committed to the people in their church, that are committed to God, depression is cut in half, at least in half. Divorce is cut in half if they're actually committed to the church, not just say they're Christian. You see children actually see their parents, watch their parents and watch what their parents actually do and begin to follow what they actually do, not what they say. So many things fall in line when you have non-negotiables in your life. Non-negotiables like tithing, non-negotiables like going to church, non-negotiables like when we can be generous, we will be generous on every occasion. When God asks us to do something, we do it. The secret place is non-negotiable in my life. It could be exercise as non-negotiable for you. Put some non-negotiables in your life this year and write them down and tell somebody. Don't just keep it a secret in your journal, but make sure people know that you're committed to these non-negotiables in your life. I'm giving you general principles because it's impossible to plan for an entire year. The next thing, plan your rest. Plan your rest this year. Jess and I plan our vacations throughout the year in advance. Why? Because human beings need rest. You're not a machine. Even God rested on the seventh day. He's setting an example for us. And you're saying every time you rest, you're saying, God, first of all, I want to enjoy what you've given me and what we've built together. And second, you're saying, God, it's not all me. I didn't do this. You did this. And I'm thankful to you for it. I'm not so self-important that I think I can conquer the world on my own. I can do this thing on my own. Rest says, God, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge your word. And I acknowledge what I have in my life that you've given to me. And it puts you in a position of gratitude. That's what rest is really for. It doesn't mean sitting on a couch and watching your favorite series from start to finish that day. I mean, some people might. But it means filling your soul with good things. Topping off your soul with good things. Make sure you set aside a time of actual rest. Actual rest. So those are the principles that I think you should write down. Spend time working these out. And over the next year, putting the kingdom of heaven first, like Jesus says, means actually putting it first with action, not just reading the words and saying, I think I do, but actually doing it. And align your goals and your future and everything you're looking at over this next year around Jesus and what he actually wants for you. Because real success is obedience. As a church, we'll say that over and over again. It's our family motto. What God asks you to do, no matter the outcome, it's success if you do what the King asks you to do. And that's how you actually put the kingdom of heaven first. So, hope this bless you. Love you guys. Hope you're having a great time with family and friends. And even if you're not, I hope you're finding peace with God in the midst of all of it. And you're looking forward to next year as much as I am, along with our whole church family. Thanks so much. Love you. Bless you. Have an amazing new year. Hey, thanks so much for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe. Every time you do that, the gospel goes further. I know it's algorithm, it's AI, it's crazy, but every time you like and subscribe, more people get an opportunity to hear about how to order their lives around Jesus. More people hear about our church. So make sure you like and subscribe. Appreciate you watching. Have a great day.